Whenever I saw the assignment, being better children. Now, there's something that I have a lot of experience with, being a child, because I've been a child all of my life. And I'll be a child to my parents as long as all of us are alive. And so when we start talking about being better children, we're talking about a topic that most of the people in this room can still learn something about and apply lessons in their life regarding this topic. Because those of us that are still children of our parents, we have some responsibilities that we need to learn. And those responsibilities start young. In the letter that I got from Jack, he made some points about the fact that many times children, and we're talking about usually younger children now at this time, and I'm glad there are some of the younger children here, not the real young children who might not understand the lesson, but those that are in school, you have some responsibilities. That you're going to face trials and temptations in this life. And those trials have a tendency to do two things. They can lead you away from Christ. They can lead you out of the right path. And they can also cause some difficulties between you and your parents. And I suppose all of us can think back to the time whenever we were living at home with our parents. And think of times when we wished we had known some things that might help us to be better. To not give our parents the difficulties that we did offer in varying degrees. And so what our goals are this morning is to give you the tools that you need to help during your youth. And then as you grow older, something that I can use and something that all of us in here can use to learn to be more equipped with regarding to our parents and as our life as a Christian. And so we hope today first to establish the need for the study and for the responsibility that we all have, even as a young child. And secondly, we want to give some biblical principles that are involved in solving the challenges that we face. And then third, we want to make some biblical application of those principles. And I hope that when the lesson is finished this morning, in 45 more minutes, you say? Jack knows me too well. When I preach over in Latvia, I have to cut my lessons in half. I don't have the opportunity to really dig into the meat. And so I've preached a couple of times since I've been back here in the country, and I've preached for a long time. Well, first of all, let's look at the necessities and the responsibilities of this study and about our responsibilities as children. The infamous words of the great writer of Proverbs comes to mind from Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You raise up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And those words almost sound like magic. And really, if people would practice that and apply that principle as parents, then they would see a lot of difference in the world and as the children grow up. But in our society, in this country, and in other countries that are swiftly being influenced by the United States, the society does not help to create this kind of a situation where children learn from their parents the right way to go and stay in that path. When we look at our school's education systems and the values clarification programs that they offer, and you may not have heard that phrase for 2 or 3 years or maybe longer, but it's still present in the schools, and it's not getting better. Renata and I had the chance to view in Latvia over the public television what was considered to be a sex education course that was prepared for schools in America. And it was appalling and very suggestive. And continuously in that program, the statement was made, no one can say what is right and what is wrong. You have to make your own decisions. That's what we're faced with. We're faced with an education system, a government that officially is promoting promiscuity, rebellion against your parents, don't listen to them. And so we don't have a society that's centered around trying to help children to listen to their parents and to be the right kind of children. Divorce and broken homes that are connected around divorce or add confusion and difficulty to being a child. What kind of a child should I be? How can I listen to this father or this mother who did this to my other father or mother? And who can I respect? And why should I listen? And so there's a lot to learn that might help us to face these difficulties. Even our television advertising. I really haven't paid that much attention because it's grown, developed worse and worse as the time goes by. But we're not to notice it immediately. We have a television commercial about a certain kind of a cereal. And your parents, they say, when your children say, "I want this," then you shouldn't be afraid to give it to them because, you know, it has this vitamin in it and this is a healthy breakfast cereal. Well, what is that promoting? Children saying, "I want this," and parents learning, "I should give it to them because the children want it." And you think that's an accident? The advertisers know to get those children to want their products. Because the children many times make the decisions about what is bought and what is not bought. Is that right? Is that the kind of a child that God wants us to be? Should the children direct the family? Or should the parents direct the family? And therein lies the key. What does the Bible say about this? And that's what we want to learn this morning. But first of all, it might be important for us to consider the misconceptions about the responsibilities of our young people, of young children and teenagers alike. Because these misconceptions often lead to confusion and indifference about our childhood. What is the age of accountability, for example, might be a good question to consider. And when people think about that, many times we think about the fact that Jesus was 12 years old whenever he had his journey to Jerusalem that is so famous. When he stayed behind and was talking, asking questions to the doctors, and they were astounded. They were amazed at his wisdom. He was a precocious 12-year-old. We read about Polycarp, the well-known elder of the first century, baptized at the age of 11 years old. So we see that some people are accountable, perhaps at these ages. It might be good to consider for a moment a couple of examples in the Old Testament. Solomon, just a young child when he became the king. If my understanding is correct, he was about eight or nine years old when he became the king over Israel. And as we read the story in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 10, we see what this young child had in his brain. He had it in his mind. "And Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." Now, how many children do we know today of that young age that would think to ask that kind of a question? But there are some. Here is one example. And when we turn to almost the last king of the southern kingdom of Israel, in the second book of Chronicles, the very last chapter, we learn about a young 8-year-old king who served for 3 months. Verse 9, chapter 36 and verse 9. Jehoiachin was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. Now listen to this next statement. An 8-year-old child And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. You see, when is the age of accountability? When does a person become responsible for their actions? Well, there's no magic number. Some people become responsible at a young age that seems almost ridiculous to adults. But God held this young man accountable for his actions. The Bible says, and uncontested anywhere else in the Scriptures, that he, an 8-year-old boy, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And so, it might be 8 years old, it might be 11 years old. The time whenever you, as a child, become accountable to God, and so that your actions will be judged by God as actions that will either lead you to heaven or keep you from going there. And so, it has a lot to do with the responsibilities that one faces, I believe. Some are forced to grow up early in life because of the situations that they face. Many times if someone lives in a family where there is a lot of turmoil, they're forced to grow up a lot quicker than someone who reared in a family where there's peace and harmony and good Christian character that's their example. And so if they have to face more difficult times, and many times they become responsible at an earlier age. The fact of the matter is, if you're here this morning and you can understand what we're talking about, and you can realize and make application about what we're saying, then you're responsible. And so we're talking to you. The importance of being, excuse me, the importance of being a good and godly child is readily seen when we read through the instructions about how to select an elder in the church that is given to Titus in the first chapter. When Paul talks about that an elder needs to have children that are not accused of being unruly or accused of being riotousness or like a drunkard, they need to be a child that is one who is known for being an obedient child, one who is faithful in character, and one who is faithful to his parents. His conduct, his respect, his honor is known, it's recognizable. And so, a child can make or break a man if he wants to be an elder or not. And so, it's a very important topic that we have. We need to learn to be better children. What are some biblical principles that will help us to learn to be better children? First of all, there's some general principles that would apply here and elsewhere as we think about being a Christian, think about being a godly person. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, again, the wise Solomon, by inspiration of God, wrote these words. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth the wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, but he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He giveth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, and every good path. Wisdom doesn't just come with age. And I've heard preachers try to say that wisdom comes with years. And in some ways, that's true, in a worldly sense. But there's some kind of wisdom that doesn't come. It doesn't matter how old you are, unless God gives it to you. And that's the wisdom of righteousness. The kind of wisdom that James talked about praying for. We can't get it any other way unless God gives it to us. And if you want to be a better child, first of all, you need to learn what God's will is. And desire to follow God's will. Love it. Search for it. Reach out for it and try to bring it into your life. Because unless you're willing to make that kind of a challenge for yourself, you're trying to reach out for it and try to put it in your life, it's never going to happen. No one else can be a good child for you. or for me. We have to do it ourselves. And how do we learn? First of all, we need to realize that God is the place to go to learn the right thing. In Psalm 119, and those of you that are familiar with that great chapter in the Bible will realize that there is such an emphasis in this chapter about the great Word of God and how rich that is and what it can offer to us. But look in verse 97 through 104. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Wherefore I hate every false way. Now you know, a child learns a lot from their parents. But the parents are not the standard by which we judge righteousness. And so, first of all, we need to realize that God sets the standard. And if our parents let us run wild as a child, maybe they weren't taught the right way when they were a child. Maybe their parents allowed that. You know, the generation that I am in, we grew up in a time when promiscuity was the thing, in the 60s. I was born in 1960. I saw this through the 60s and the 70s, where these people that are becoming parents now were children of parents who were very free with the way they lived. And so it shouldn't be unusual for us to find someone today who doesn't know how to be a good parent, because they didn't learn from their parents the right way. Well, our parents aren't the standard, but God's Word is. And when we see the respect that this David had for the Word of God, it's made me wiser than my teachers. Maybe my parents didn't know the right thing, but God does. He's the standard. He sets the standard. And so let's look to the greatest father of all. Let's look to the one who can offer the best parenthood, the perfect parent, and that is God, the Father in heaven. And listen to what He has to say about how to be a better child. There are some specific instructions for children in the New Testament, and we're not going to overlook those by any means, because they need to be remembered. You need to memorize these and practice these things. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The Bible is very clear. God has given us the instruction. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, there's one very clear phrase there that we need to make sure we understand the application. And that is that Jesus is over the parents. God is higher in authority than even our parents. But as long as what they direct us in is the path of righteousness, as long as what they command or expect from a child does not go against the commandments of God, then we must obey our parents. That's the commandment of God. That is God's will. And so we don't talk back to mom and dad. Mom and dad say, listen, I need you to do this. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you've gone against what God said. Because the Bible says, obey your parents. In fact, in Colossians it says, obey your parents in all things. There is no area in your life that you don't have to listen to your parents in. There is not any part of your life that your parents don't have authority over, as long as you're living under their roof and they're the ones directing your actions. They have the authority. I'll never forget arguing with a friend of mine right here, well, in the other building over there as a child, about whether our parents had the right to tell us what friends we should run around with. Our parents do have the right. Your parents care for you. And if they say, I don't want you to hang around this friend, I want you to have friends that are better character, you have to do what they said because they're your parents. And if you decide to not listen to them, then you are rebelling against your parents. You're going against the commandment of God. As a child, we must obey our parents. But there's more than just obedience. It's not like a master with a whip trying to direct a slave. Honor your parents, he says. Our parents shouldn't have to force us to do what they say. As a child, we should honor those parents. We should put them in that pedestal, in that place of high authority, second only to God, and let them know that we're going to do what they say because they're our parents. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Toward the end of the lesson, we'll make some more application about that. But honor your parents. Now, another thing that might help to be a better child would be to realize that at any age, sin is sin. I hear people talk about, he's young. He can do this. He's just got to get this wild streak out of him. He can go out and party with his friends because he's just young. When he gets older, then he won't have to do that anymore. Well, friends, in the Bible, revelings and drunkenness are sin at any age. And if you're old enough to be involved in those things, and your friends, you're out with friends, and they can do those things, and you can be a part of this partying all night long, even if you're not drinking, if you're just out getting crazy and not having self-control, that's revelings. Renata and I were trying to go to sleep in Jackson, Tennessee, two nights ago. We had the hotel room right in the back of the thing. It was filled. This place was just filled. And someone comes in with their car stereo turned up, peaked out with the big old bass speakers, and all we could hear was boom, 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 and they were talking loud at 2 in the morning. Now what that demonstrates is revelings. It demonstrates a lack of concern about your actions and how it affects other people. And whenever young people get together, many times they forget that they have responsibilities to act in a certain way. And sometimes young people will get together and they'll start clowning around and joking and they'll have a good time, and then they get louder and they get louder and they get more free with their actions. There's nothing to do with drinking. It's just a matter of having fun. Letting loose, we call it sometimes. Well, that's revelings. I remember seeing, we were down in Epcot Center just a few days ago at Disney World. That was Renata and I's honeymoon. And it was really enjoyable. But I remember reading in the brochure in the German part of Epcot Center, in one of the restaurant and bars that they have there, interestingly, it said, lots of revelry. Advertising it. And if you don't know what the word revelry is, just look it up in the dictionary. You'll get a pretty good idea. Reveling is a sin. Whether you've been drinking and that leads to it, which it usually does, or whether you just do it for another reason, it's still sin. And so, at any age, don't revel. Don't be just a party all, do all, whatever you feel like, do it, kind of a person. That is not what a Christian should be. And that's not what a godly child will be. Fornication and lasciviousness are sin at every age. Where do our children learn many times about lasciviousness? At the school dances, when they have the chance to be with other children that are dancing in ways and acting in ways that are just ungodly. They learn it when they're a child. It's a sin as a child, and it's a sin as an adult. You read Galatians chapter 5 and you see if there's an age limit put on any of those things. It's not there. If you're old enough to understand what it is, then you're old enough to know better. And so as a child, if you want to be a good and godly child, don't be involved in lasciviousness. Don't be involved in fornication. Don't sow your wild oats, as I used to hear all the time. You just can't have that freedom. Not as a child, not as an adult. It's not good. It's ungodly and it's sinful. And if you're old enough to do it, and you're old enough to understand what it is, then God will judge you as guilty if you're involved in those things. And so as a child, we need to learn early that we're going to avoid these kind of things. Hatred and envy and strife, they're sinful at every age. It doesn't matter what age we are. How can you be a better child? We see some of the biblical teaching, some of the principles that might be involved. How can we be a better children today? First of all, and I would say foremost, if you want to be a better child, pray about it. Pray. Before you go to bed at night, every night, you pray to God that you'll be a better child tomorrow than you were today. There is nothing that you cannot accomplish as far as growing as a Christian and being successful in a godly way that you can't accomplish if you pray. Nothing you desire that you can't accomplish if you pray about it. Prayer is the most powerful tool that Christians have for personal benefit, for personal strength and growth. And there is no challenge that you cannot conquer if you're willing to pray about it. Just think about it. Now, if I want to be a better child, I know that I want to be a better child, and I pray about it to God, then I'm going to be thinking about it on the next day when I get up and I'm going through my daily action in life. My actions will reflect my desires, and God will help me. But there's more than prayer. We need to apply the principles that the Bible teaches. And so, when we think about honoring parents, for example, we need to look and see what the Bible teaches about honoring parents. What does that mean? Does it mean to salute? No, it does not mean to salute. It's not like you would honor a judge, your highness, or a king. You know, that's not the same. But we honor our parents. It means something. It means something, doesn't it? And it has some application for us. You know, Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 15. There were people who were changing the instructions that God had given. Specifically, he gave the example about honoring parents. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." We read some other translations about that. We might get a clearer picture about what he's saying. The idea there is, here's a child whose parents need him to help them financially. My parents need my help. Well, instead of helping them, I say, well, listen, I already gave what I had to help you to the church. I don't have anything left to help you with. For them, it would be making a contribution, perhaps to the temple. I gave that already to help in the other works of the Lord. So I don't have anything left to help you. That is not honoring your parents. You see, we do need to make gifts to help with the church work, don't we? But that does not free us from the obligation of honoring our parents. And if they need us, then we need to be there to help them. And so obviously we're talking about an adult child in this situation, aren't we? So honoring your parents doesn't stop whenever you leave the home. It continues until you stop being a child anymore. And that only happens one way. And so we honor our parents to the grave, don't we? We honor our parents to the grave. So there's lessons in here for all ages. But we need to learn how to do that when we're young. Because if we don't learn it when we're young, we won't learn it when we're old. It's very unlikely. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, we see an example of this. How it's illustrated. The Apostle Paul is giving instruction to Timothy about widows. Verse 3 and 4, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Basically, what that says is, if there's a widow and they have a son or a daughter or a nephew, that son or daughter or that nephew needs to be the one that takes care of that widow, not the church. And so that's what it means to honor your parents. We talked about being obedient to parents. My parents don't try to tell me what to do in life. They know that I have my own family now. And they understand, and I understand that they're not going to just direct every step of my life. But when I was living under their roof, I was under their authority in that same way. And so as a child at home, then for me to honor my parents would be to say, whenever they say, I want you to do this, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And if they ask me a question, then I'll be honest with them and say yes or no. Even if I think I'm caught, even if I think I'm in trouble, I'll be honest with my parents because they're my parents. If you love your parents, you'll honor your parents. And honoring means obeying. It means taking care of them. It means everything that's good that we can do for them, that we ought to do for them at any stage in life. And so it's a general command that involves a lot of specifics. And the application will have to be something that you make on your own in whatever walk of life that you're in. But we might consider these biblical contrasts. We want to be better children. There's a couple of passages in the Bible where we have a comparison between two types of children. And I think the most interesting, we don't have time to look at both of them. I was thinking about, for example, where Jesus talked about the two sons. And, he said to the first one, go. And he said, I will not. And he said to the second son, go. And he said, I will go. But he didn't go. But the first one repented and went. You see, I want you to go do this. The one who obeyed his parents is the one who did right in God's eyes. That's honoring your parents. And those people could understand that, and you can understand that today. But I think more, even more interesting than that is what we read back in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's just amazing if you just think about these things as we look at them. 1 Samuel chapter 2, first of all, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. That's not a good way to get introduced in the Bible, in my opinion. But when we look down just a little bit further in verse 17 and 18, well, I'm not going to talk about all the details, but wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And it was a direct result of the way that these young men handled the sacrifices that people brought. They were very selfish, very greedy, very immature, ungodly, and people hated to bring their sacrifices before the Lord as a result. But look in verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Just a little child. And he was already a better example of what it meant to be a good child than those other two sons of Eli that were older. As we read just a little bit further, verse 22 through 26. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and with men. And so we see quite a contrast between these two examples, don't we? Here we have two young men that have already been challenged by their father. Listen, God is going to punish you if you don't change your ways. And even with that admonition, they still continued to commit their sins. But that little child, Samuel, was in the favor of God. We have two examples. Which one most characterizes you and me? If we were to read on through chapter 3, we would see how the sons of Eli and his house was cut off because of their wickedness. And yet, and when we get down to the end of chapter 3, in verse 19 and 20, what do we read about Samuel? And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I want to be like Samuel, don't you? Here was talking about a young child, but he was already established as a servant of God. Just a couple of practical tips that we might apply in helping us to be better children. First of all, learn to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Saying sir and ma'am sounds like an old-fashioned thing, but it's good. And if you'll say yes, sir, see what your father does. Yes, ma'am. And just say it all the time. I wish that I had learned that when I was a little child. I don't know. I remember a few years ago I started doing that. I don't know if Mom and Dad remember that or not, but it helped me, and I hope that it helped them. Listen to your parents and obey them. That's what the Bible says. You don't have a choice in that. If you don't understand why they give you certain instructions, do it anyway. And then talk about it later with them, after it's done. Ask them, listen, I don't understand this. Can we talk about that? But they know that you're not rebelling because you've been willing to obey, you see. You'll have a lot better situation between you and your parents. Third or fourth, give thanks to God for your parents at night. Thank God for your parents. And fifth, thank your parents for caring about you, for giving their instruction to you, and for making sacrifices for you. Because they are. They care about you. And they need to be thanked for that. And lastly, I think most importantly, let your parents know that God is number one in your life. And they're number two. But they are number two. They're not down the list somewhere else. And always be honest with your parents. Even when you think you're in trouble, never lie. That's just good Christian character. In the Old Testament times, it was easy to be encouraged to be a good child. You know why? If you read through Deuteronomy chapter 21, you can see why. Real quick. If a child was rebellious, wouldn't obey his parents, the congregation of the people were commanded to take that child out and stone that child to death. And the reason for that was to make other people fear so that they would obey. Capital punishment has that tendency. Well, today we don't have that luxury of having the fear put into us like that. Just one more passage, okay, and then I'm done. But let's look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You thought, what? Chapter 11? Not 12? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. We don't have someone threatening to kill us because we didn't honor our parents. But we do have some words of encouragement that will be very practical for us if you just remember these things. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And right after he said that, chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You want to be a better child? Remember God. And remember what he said about what it was like to be a good child. There is no substitute for self-control.